My guest today is Hour of the Shipwreck. We're going to start by listening to a track from the as-of-yet unreleased album, Hour of the the Hour is Upon Us. MySpace.com/The Hour of the Shipwreck. We're going to start right now. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.
What will the
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Richie Cohan of Hour of the Shipwreck. Welcome to the show. And let's just start with, let me ask you sort of, how much of Hour of the Shipwreck is Richie Cohan evil genius and how much of it is a band?
I write the music, but we arrange it as a band. So it really is a group effort. And in terms of the business side of it, I've been doing pretty much the business, the booking and the management and the publicity and promo and all of that fun stuff. But it's very much like a cohesive group project.
So does it start out with, you have sort of a basic skeleton of the song, you sort of worked it out on your acoustic guitar and then written the lyrics and then...
I have, I guess... like I'll write the music either, you know, on paper, or a lot of times actually these days I'll just record it into my computer, and sometimes it'll just be like a guitar and voice thing, and sometimes I'll do some sort of production stuff, you know, I'll put harmonies on it and I'll put a bunch of different guitar tracks and some keyboard tracks on it just to get an idea of what direction it'll go. And then as a group we kind of hash it out together.
And then does it kind of like the song that we just listened to, it's very, you know, textured and there's many, many different layers. And do you start off with an idea in your head that, okay, it's going to have all these elements, or do those elements kind of attach themselves to the song as you're working on it?
I guess it's a little of both. Like usually I have some grand idea. Like actually years ago I had this idea that, oh man, we're totally going to have choir on this song. And it was totally this pipe dream. And then we ended up being able to put a choir together and having actual choir on the record. But a lot of times, I guess I'll have an idea in my head. And by the time, first of all, by the time I actually bring it to the band, my idea maybe has changed, or I don't know. And then once we get it to the band, like it sort of takes on its own life, you know, the band sort of like brings everything, all of their input to it, and then it ends up changing, but not necessarily in a direction I didn't want it to go. You know, that's sort of all part of it is like, you know, we all bring our own ideas to it. And
have you been working with the same guys for a while?
Mostly, yeah.
So they probably have a sense of, you know, what makes for an Hour of the Shipwreck song.
It took us a long time, of playing as a band for us to figure out really what our sound was and like what to do with these, you know, 8-minute like through composed pieces. We rehearsed for like maybe 9 months or a year before we played our first show or recorded our first demo. And then even after that, like after playing shows, we would like, you know, be able to feel which spots of which tunes like didn't feel right, and then we would be able to go and rehearse again and fix that stuff. And so it's been sort of an ongoing process, and finally, I don't know, probably in the last like year or so, we felt comfortable like with, I don't know, that we've gotten to a point with the songs that like we sort of really like what we're doing.
Who are the members of your band? What do they bring to the sound?
So I play acoustic 12-string mostly, and occasionally electric guitar and sing. And then Marcel Camargo plays guitar, a bunch of different guitars, regular electric guitar. He plays Nashville-tuned guitar, baritone guitar, and then glockenspiel, and he also sings backup. Barbara Greska plays drums and sings. Aaron Arntz plays keyboards and sings. And he actually also is now playing the choir samples with his feet when we perform.
Oh, wow.
So that's a new addition. This for our record release show on Saturday. That's going to be the first time we actually get to use that. So that's really exciting.
So you recorded a live choir and then sort of plugged that into a sampler that you could play out?
Yeah, we chopped it up into sort of like one chord segments and then input that into this fancy MIDI controller computer thing that he got from touring on the Zappa band. We ended up breaking it up for that last tune into like 70 different pieces.
Wow.
And then his foot controller has like 10 buttons on it and then 10 banks. So, you know, we sort of spread out the 70 samples throughout those and he just pushes them in order, with his feet while he's playing the keyboard parts.
So I guess like with this kind of music, especially with these longer songs, there does become this sort of separation between your typical rock band gig and a live performance event, you know, where you guys are really up there. Besides just playing your instruments, you're also doing a sort of piece of theater because you have all these different elements going on at the same time. And,
yeah.
And you have the time to really, display all those elements because it's not broken down into one little, you know, pop three chord thing.
Right. Yeah. We actually would love to make it much more of a production than we can now. You know, now we basically play the music as best we can. But we would love to have like a light show or like sort of the ultimate goal of the band that we've had since the beginning has been to have our own theme park. So it would be amazing for the venue to be the center of that theme park and have, I don't know, all sorts of visual stuff. Because I guess the music is very visual. And at the moment, we feel like that's the one thing that's lacking. We wish we could have either films going while we're playing mm-hmm. or playing to the film, sort of like Cornelius does. Or even something... I don't know, more live than that. I don't know. We've had all sorts of ideas, but yeah.
Contortionists, maybe.
I suppose.
Why don't we jump into a live song if you're ready?
Okay, sure.
What are you going to play first?
This one is called Flying.
It's and on... this is on your 12 string?
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Hour of the Shipwreck. Check it out.
Set free, want to be set free.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Hour of the Shipwreck. That was fantastic, man.
Thank you.
You know, I was listening to that song, and I was thinking, you know, what's different about this? Why is this, you know, something... You get so used to hearing music that's supposed to be catchy or supposed to be infectious, and that's not what this is. This is engaging. You know, it's sort of a big difference between something that just gets stuck in your head and it's kind of following you around all day and it's annoying, as opposed to something that draws you in, you know, like a good film where you're just like, you want to know what's going to happen next and you want to follow it as it moves along. Sort of elaborate on that, sort of your approach to music and how it's different from, you know, what we tend to be seeing in the sort of contemporary corporate arena.
Well, you mentioned it draws you in sort of like a film would, and I guess that's sort of the idea that we're going for, is to create something that brings you into a world and I guess takes you on a journey and takes you somewhere else. A lot of my musical influences have been, and artistic influences, I guess, have been things that have done that. I listen to a lot of like 20th century classical music and late romantic classical music, where they are very long form pieces that go through many different sections and it sort of takes you on a journey. And then probably like the biggest influences for this band are more film than they are music, like Lord of the Rings, you know, and a lot of fantasy movies, Close Encounters of the Third Kind and stuff, like, you know, Spielberg movies, where it's like from the moment you start watching it, you're just sucked in and it just takes you on this whole thing. It's not, you know, verse, chorus, verse sort of thing.
And, you know, sometimes the sort of opposite problem occurs with a lot of sort of postmodern rock bands, is they end up kind of lulling you into a trance and you forget that you're listening to a song. And that can work sometimes, but also sometimes that can be kind of taxing on the listener. Have you sort of kept that in mind to make sure that, you know, you don't go too long or too far with something and that you're constantly changing things up?
Well, I think maybe... I guess the bands, the recent bands that come to mind who do that, many of which I think are really cool bands, but a lot of times they base their music on maybe like a groove over one chord, and then they sort of build over that one chord. A lot of like progressive bands are doing that. And compositionally, that's not the direction that we're coming from. Mm-hmm. I guess we don't even necessarily create the music texturally by developing, I don't know how to say this. It's not like we have one section and then we develop that out into our song. It's sort of like we have a composition that has these contours to it. And then we try to sort of grasp all of those contours like via the band. So it's sort of, I guess, the opposite approach. It tends to be, I don't know. Yeah.
How did you come to play guitar? Why is six strings not enough for you?
Why am I playing a 12 string? I don't know. That was sort of, I love the sound of it. It sounds sort of harpsichordy. It sounds very,
I guess that ties back to sort of your more classical influences.
Yeah, yeah. It has that to it. And then it also, it's just very outer worldly. It doesn't feel like a normal rock instrument. And that's sort of what I was going for. I get, it's like, I'm not trying to write rock songs, you know, I'm trying to write something else. And I guess the sound of the 12 string, really, it's like, it's such a full sound, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it like has this sparkle to it that I really like too.
And did that come to you first, playing guitar, or did you start by singing?
No, singing definitely did not come first. I've been playing guitar since I was 8. And I sang in choir in high school and in college, but the thought never even occurred to me to sing solo in front of anyone until I was in my, you know, early, like after I graduated college. So that's a pretty new thing for me, singing.
Let's listen to another track from the CD, and then I want to talk to you some more about your early live experiences and bringing it to your audience.
Okay.
What should we play first?
Next. Let's play Save the World. That's the second track.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Hour of the Shipwreck. Stick around. And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Hour of the Shipwreck. Another great song from The Hours Upon Us. When is this album available?
Saturday.
And it's been a long time coming, huh? You've been working on it for a while, huh?
We have, yeah. We spent 13 months recording it, and probably 2 years before that, just developing the music. And then in between the recording and the... Now, it's just been, you know, promo and business and publicity and lame stuff.
Now, when you say it's going to be available on Saturday, is there a place people should go first to get it?
Well, we're having our CD release show at a loft downtown called The Lofto, which is on Los Angeles Street between 5th and 6th. The address is 533 South Los Angeles Street. And you can also buy it online on our MySpace page and our website. Our website is just houroftheshipwreck.com. Yeah.
So we were talking a little bit before about how you started to sing, and that to you that didn't seem like a natural progression of things, that you had to, it's something you, I guess it's something you had to do at some point. Like, somebody's got to do the singing,
yeah,
and these are your
yeah,
songs.
Yeah, I started writing this music, and I was like, man, you know, who else is going to sing this? So then I just sort of tried and sort of forced myself to do it. And at first, I don't know, it was sort of uncomfortable, but like, it's strange. I was like a really shy child. I would never, you know, the thought of getting up in front of a stage and doing anything, let alone singing, was, you know, completely out of the question. So when I sort of brought myself to do that, it was kind of strange to make it happen.
And then what happened between that first time that you really started trying to sing and going up on stage and saying, this is our Hour of the Shipwreck?
First, I just kind of practiced a lot by myself. I, like, sort of recorded myself and got used to the idea of, you know, hearing myself sing. And then I started doing open mics, which I really didn't like. And I still, like, I think that's, like, a really uncomfortable forum to play. But I did it just because I needed some place to try singing in front of people and have it not be, you know, a show.
And was this just you on acoustic guitar?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We started rehearsing, and I guess we had rehearsed so much before our first show that, like, I was pretty prepared for it. So it didn't feel that strange. And also the venue that we used was this another random loft downtown where we, like, brought our own sound system. So it was an environment that I was totally comfortable with. It wasn't like I was walking into Spaceland
right.
and had their, you know, fancy sound system and all these, you know, strange people around.
Now, playing in loft spaces seems to suit you. You know, it's like your music is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Loft space is a little bit different. Has that been a challenge for you, sort of finding the right kind of venue to promote your music, because it doesn't fit so easily into a little compartment of, you know, this, that kind
yeah.
of rock or whatever?
You know, I used to be very concerned with, like, having the right visual aesthetic and stuff. And actually, fortunately, lately we've found Bordello, which has an awesome visual feel, and the sound is really good there. It's tricky. You know, I, like, we really like playing at Spaceland, but, like, the vibe there doesn't quite suit what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But granted, you know, we'd still like to play there as often.
Yeah, the
as
sound
possible.
Is good. It's
the
a nice stage.
Amazing.
But
yeah,
I totally, from having done shows there, there's
yeah.
a definite vibe to that room, and mm-hmm. I can see how it's different from whatever the Shipwreck brings.
Yeah, so doing shows at, you know, random loft spaces where we ultimately have entire control over, you know, how it's going to look, and, I mean, I guess, you know, of course we would want to be able to do more in terms of just, like, decor, but we kind of don't have the means at the moment, but at least we have the control over more factors, so that's kind of nice. But I think also for the record release show, like, there's going to be so many people coming that we don't have the booking power to book the appropriate sized venue. You know, it's like we probably could have played the Troubadour and made them happy, but there's no way we could have convinced them
that
you
would
bring
the appropriate number of
people.
Yeah. And you don't want to get involved in some pay to play thing where
right.
they're going to put up a bunch of bands that have nothing to do with you.
Right. Exactly. So this way, you know, we have friends of friends who have this loft, and they've been kind enough to help us put the show on.
That's great.
So, yeah, it's very cool.
Did you mind playing another live song?
Sure, yeah.
What are you going to play?
This next one is going to be My Fantasy.
And are these songs that the ones you're doing live acoustic on this show, are they part of on the album as well? Or
yeah,
the
they're
songs?
On the album with the full band playing them. And this one is, I guess we were talking earlier about sort of the long form, atypical pop forms, but this one is the closest to a standard verse chorus song that we have.
Cool. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Hour of the Shipwreck. Thank you. Hour of the Shipwreck is my guest on Is Good on killradio.org. Another great song, man. There's, you know, looking at the cover art of The Hours Upon Us, your new album, and, you know, listening to your music, there's a lot of, you were mentioning that it's very focused on imagery, mm-hmm. and sort of very, there's a very visual, conceptual element to it. There's a certain darkness to all of it. Does that carry through thematically in your lyrics? I mean, is Hour of the Shipwreck sad, for lack of a better word, or you know, what are some themes that you like to keep coming back to lyrically?
I think that dark is a good term. I don't know if sad is the right term, because like there's so many things that can be tied to darkness that aren't necessarily sad.
Well, and it's not because it's not depressing, right. The music, but it's also not necessarily joyful either.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I guess, again, like, even going back to the imagery, like, a lot of the visual things that I would imagine would be, like, Disneyland rides, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, the Haunted Mansion, all the rides in Fantasyland, like,
which
Snow
are kind
White
of scary.
And Pinocchio. They're really scary, and they're really dark, but they're not sad, you know? So I think that's maybe what I'm going for, and
do you think
lyrically...
Lyrically,
I think it's coming from a slightly different place. Like, the lyrics are not fantasy lyrics, you know? They're not, at least for this album, they're not. But they're very emotional lyrics, and they're very personal lyrics. So I guess, I don't know, I guess there is some tie between those two things.
Is your work tend to be more self-reflective, or is it more about telling stories of things that happen to other people?
The lyrics on this album are very self-reflective. The next project is probably, if it is self-reflective, it'll be more in an analogous way. That one is, I'm like writing a whole story, and I guess you could call it a concept album, but it's really going to be more of just like a story told through music, maybe more like an opera or a musical, just not in the style of, you know, not operatic and not musical, like
it's not Cats.
Right.
where do the lyrics come in terms of the structure of how you make your music? Is it the last thing you think about, or the first thing you
it
think
depends.
About?
It I guess more often than not the music comes first, and sometimes at least for certain sections the lyrics come at the same time, which is that's always like the totally ideal situation. It's like totally pure when that happens. And that actually happened for the last song that I played, the chorus, My Fantasy. That whole section, the lyrics came right with the melody.
Some songs just kind of write themselves.
Yeah,
huh?
they kind of just like, it just works together that way. But since, I guess with a lot of the stuff, if I'm coming from that sort of like, you know, classical approach to composition, like, for me, the music really has to come first. Like, I can't just come up with all the lyrics at once. And, I mean, sometimes I don't know what I'm writing about yet. So, yeah.
Did the songs sort of musically and instrumentally inform you of what they're going to be about, as opposed to you starting out and going, all right, this is my war song, or this is my, you know, love song?
I think, yeah, it's probably a combination of the two. But, and maybe a lot of it could be subconscious, where the song maybe emotionally will lead me to a certain place, just sonically. So then the lyrics end up being about that when I wasn't, you know, necessarily being like, well, you know, I want this song to be about this, or it sounds like it should be about this. I don't know.
Let's listen to another track from your CD. Again, The Hours Upon Us comes out tomorrow?
The day after tomorrow.
Day after
Saturday.
Tomorrow. And check out myspace.com/hourofthishipwreck, as well as hourofthishipwreck.com. And, We'll be sure to plug your release show at least one more time before we sign off. What should we listen to now?
We should listen to... We can either listen to Unclouded Eyes, which is the most epic one,
ooh,
or we could listen to Mount Davidson, which is also epic.
Well, if I have to choose between epic and epic, I'll choose epic. Let's do Unclouded Eyes first. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Hour of the Shipwreck. Stick around. We're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Hour of the Shipwreck, listening to tracks from The Hours Upon Us. Now, this isn't your first album, is it?
This is our first full-length album. It's actually our first real album. Like, we had an EP, but it was really a demo. So that's long gone. So this is our first album.
Do you have a sense that there's been a general evolution in your music, headed from that demo to this album to what you want to do next?
Very much so. Yeah, actually, the music has changed a lot since the early stuff. The EP was like way less rock, way less electric, and it was more piratey and more themed, I suppose. So yeah, that sort of led us to this point here.
By piratey, you mean underground or Pirates of the Caribbean?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Awesome. And what do you think is, where do you think it's going from here? Like, are you already working on new material?
Yeah, I've been writing new stuff lately, which has been really nice. I wasn't able to write during the whole recording process and during a lot of the whole business stuff. So finally, I've been able to write again. And I want to push this stuff further. I want it to be more classically influenced, but I still, you know, want to have memorable melodies. And I think I'd like to take the orchestration even further, maybe have a bigger choir next time and a full orchestra and all sorts of other instruments and, I don't know, all kinds of stuff.
Is there anything you know now that you don't want to do, like traps you don't want to fall into, fads or anything like that?
I suppose we've always been avoiding, you know, certain, or not avoiding, but that just hasn't been the direction that we've ever gone. So I suppose we're going to continue not going on those paths.
Well said. Let's do another live song if you have it in you. What would you like to play?
This one is Soft Napalm Pillow Dreams.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Hour of the Shipwreck. Thank you.
burning sea melts the world, dripping warm inside. Burns to nothing, we're touching. Sleep deprived, my love. Those months of winter,
you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, myspace.com/hourofthishipwreck, and hourofthishipwreck.com. Those are the places to go, right?
Yes.
Now, this album comes out Saturday. You have a big release show. Tell us once again when and where.
It is Saturday. The doors open at 8:30. The first act, who is Tales of Banyan, that is Marcel from Hour of the Shipwreck, his solo project, and it's really amazing. And he is our top friend on MySpace. You can go listen to his music too. He's playing at 9, and then Hour of the Shipwreck is going to play at around 10 or maybe a little later. And it's at a loft downtown on Los Angeles Street between 5th and 6th. The address is 533 South Los Angeles Street.
And then sort of what's your plan after the CD release show? Do you have a bunch of other gigs lined up? Are you going to go on tour, or what's your idea?
We have a show booked in June. We've been trying to book a tour for a long time, but so far I haven't been able to book the type of tour that I would like to book.
Like everything that you do, it needs to be a little bit off for it to be right on.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess that's part of it. And then another issue is that a few of the band members keep going on the road. Aaron, our keyboard player, is going out with the Zappa Play Zappa band, so he's going to be off for a little while doing that. So we basically have to... And then our drummer, Barbara, is going on the road with Jenny Lewis and the Watson Twins and Benji Hughes. So we kind of have to...
Oh, I know Benji. He's a great musician.
Yeah, he's amazing. We have to sort of coordinate our tours in between, the dates that they're available. until, you know, we can land a tour supporting someone where they can finally quit their so-called day jobs.
Right.
And do that. But, you know, I mean, it's still in the works. You know, hopefully I'll be able to book something cool.
Well, cool. We'll definitely keep us updated. And congratulations on this amazing album, The Hour Is Upon Us. Again, hourofteshipwreck.com, myspace.com/hourofteshipwreck. Thanks so much for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me.
This episode will be available for download from myspace.com/thisisgood, as well as integrated into Hour of the Shipwreck's profile on isgoodmusic.com, which is currently in beta testing. So go ahead and check it out. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.